Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar, Editor-in-Chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. A couple of months ago, we did an episode on bonds and how they work. We've since had a lot of requests from listeners who want us to unpack this topic even further, including how bonds are traded, how to calculate the annual interest rate on a bond, and what is the outlook for the bond markets. All this to say, investors just want to strike the right balance in their portfolio, and it can't be all skewed towards shares, but so little is understood about its counterpoint, bonds. To help us get started is Alex Moffat, director of Joseph Palmer and Sons. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Michelle, and thank you for the invitation.
No worries. I mean, I must confess that I'm also like all our listeners out there. I know a little bit about shares, but not a lot about bonds. So I'm going to learn a lot as well from this episode. So we'll start with the really basic question here. The prospect of investing in bonds can be intimidating to a lot of people. So how do you explain the topic in a way that makes sense for those who don't work in finance or are just starting to invest?
Okay, Michelle, let's break it down to its most basic, if I may. A bond is essentially a loan. And I think we all know what a loan is. A bond is an obligation. It's a loan, which is taken by a government or a company and on which interest is paid either semi-annually, quarterly, or annually. The loan has a term to it, so it's taken out on a specific day and it might mature, say, 2, 5, 10, 30 years in the future. And interest is paid along the way on that loan. And that's really it in its basic form.
Sounds like, as long as it doesn't sound like the loan that I give out to my family that I never see again, this is very different from that. So you're saying, for example, January 1, I invest in a, say, 2-year bond, then I'd be able to get my kind of returns every quarter or every year. But when do I get my capital back?
If you buy an Australian government bond on the 1st of January next year, and that bond matures in 2 years' time, then if you buy a bond on issue, it'll cost you around about $100 per unit, and you'll get your capital back, that same $100 back in 2 years' time. But semi-annually, every half year, you'll get a coupon payment. That interest payment is arranged at the time that the bond is issued. So it's, if you think about it, it's a regular cash flow with the promise of your money being returned at maturity.
So that sounds really sweet. I don't have to check the share price every day or every month. So why is it that not a lot of people kind of invest in bonds or even like think about bonds as a priority?
It's a good question, Michelle. And the simple answer is interest rates have been so low for so long that bonds have not been attractive. If you contemplate when COVID hit Australia, well, the world basically, in March 2020, the government flooded the market with money, the Reserve Bank flooded the market with money, and the yield, the earning rate on the Australian government 10-year bond dropped to 0.6%. I'll say that again, 0.6%, which is, would you invest your money at that rate?
Not
and
at
so
all.
People were naturally drawn to the attraction of shares. And if you consider, if you buy shares in one of the Australian big banks, for instance, the earnings on those shares is considerably more attractive. And there's also the opportunity for the value of those shares to increase. Hence why people sometimes turn a blind eye to the bond market.
But you're saying that this has changed, though. I mean, we have moved on since the days of almost negative returns, some would say. Can you just explain to our listeners? So let's look at the September quarter where the ASX 200 fell
2.1%, the Dow Jones fell 2.6%, the S&P 500 fell 3.6%, and the Nasdaq dropped 4.1%. This was like a sea of red. And yet, around the same time, if you were holding an investment bond, you would have been kind of holding on to a guaranteed return. Is that right?
That's exactly right. However, and it must be made very clear at this point for any investor, the value of the bond during its life also goes up and down. So if you hold a bond until maturity, as you described earlier, you get your capital value back, the $100 per unit back. But during the life of that bond, that $100 can go above 100 or below 100. It can go up and down, like the price of anything, depending on supply and demand and depending on market and economic conditions. So, for instance, the Australian 10-year bond, which I alluded to earlier, having traded down to 0.6% in March of 2020, is currently yielding 4.4%. Now, as bond yields rise, the price of the bond falls. They work in opposite directions to each other. So when the Australian 10-year government bond was yielding 0.6%, the price was very high. Now that it's yielding 4.4%, the price has fallen. So for someone to get their $100 back, they've got to hold that 10-year bond until its maturity. But they do get that guaranteed interest along the way every 6 months.
Which is important for those who are, say, retired and they just want a regular income or a guaranteed income.
Exactly right. And that's why people buy them. And if you think of an old adage, when people retire, and this was a long time ago, financial advisors would suggest people heading into retirement should have a third of their portfolio invested in risk assets, which is shares, etc., a third in bonds, which is capital guaranteed and provides a regular income stream, and a third in cash or property.
I know that's like the magic formula here. Now let's go back again to how bonds work. One of the things that I'm curious about is how do you calculate the annual interest rate?
It's a very complicated formula, Michelle, and it can be found on the Reserve Bank's website, rba.gov.au. The inputs into the formula are the coupon payment, the interest payment, which is a semi-annual payment, the yield or the price at which the bond is currently trading, the settlement date on which you buy the bond, and the maturity date on which the bond matures, and whether the interest payment is semi-annual, quarterly, or annual. And so all those metrics go into it. But one of the most important aspects of the formula is the assumption, and it is probably a flawed assumption, Michelle, that the coupon you receive is reinvestable at the same yield of the bond during its lifetime. And you and I both know that that's probably an impossibility, but it is an assumption in the formula.
Unfortunately, you're bringing me back to my uni days, Alex, where I'm trying to calculate all of this with like five elements there. So essentially, for our listeners who are DIY investors, is it even possible for them to do this directly, or do you need professional advice or expert advice?
You can do it directly, Michelle. Bonds are tradable on the Australian Stock Exchange. There are all the current series of Australian government, both inflation indexed and normal bonds are tradable. They're very illiquid, I might say. Market makers in the bond market are obliged to provide bid and offer spreads, but really, I think probably for the average investor, a bond ETF or a managed fund is probably the way to go. Now, if you think about what I said earlier, Michelle, the time to buy a bond is when prices are low, because then you have the opportunity for that price to rise. So, for instance, we mentioned at the outset that not many people were buying bonds when the yield was 0.6%, and that's because prices were very high at that time. But now that prices are much lower and it's yielding 4.4%, bonds all of a sudden have become more attractive to both the professional and the average investor.
Fantastic. I like that. I'm taking notes on bond ETFs and the change in pricing. Now, where are the best investment opportunities given the outlook in Australia and the US?
Well, and you've struck two very good ones there because they're diametrically opposed at the moment, Michelle. And I think during our pre-interview discussions, you mentioned the US interest rate curve. So at the moment, the US bond market is suggesting there's a potential for a recession in that country. And that occurs when short-term interest rates are higher than longer-term interest rates, which is the current case in the US. Now, one of the aspects of that a bond investor looks at when they're investing in longer-dated bonds, say a 10 or a 30-year bond, is what's the prospects for the economy? What are the prospects for inflation? What are the prospects for economic growth? And that goes into their due diligence, if you like, that they undertake before investing in a bond. You can invest in a bond across a range of maturities, as we said earlier. And at the moment, a lot of investors in the American market are investing in very short-term bonds, attracted by the very high yield there, above 5% in a number of cases. In Australia, it's the other way around. Longer-term bond yields are higher than short-term bond yields. And so our interest rate curve and our dynamics here are suggesting that the Australian economy is bubbling along quite well, that bond investors see inflation falling and economic growth continuing to increase. And so the attractive part of the bond curve here is probably around about 5 to 7 years, as distinct from the US, where the most attractive part of the curve is about 2 years.
That is interesting. And now, Alex, I feel like we've struck a truth here for me. The reason why people do invest in shares is that it's easier to understand if a company is a good investment or not. Whereas with bonds, there are all these subtleties that you have to understand, whether it's investing in the US or Australia. Is that something that you kind of hear from your clients, or what are the things they kind of ask you when you're looking at investing in bonds?
You've hit the nail on the head, Michelle. As I think that goes back to the reason most people's eyes glaze over and they zone out when we start talking about bonds. It is a very complicated area, and yet it can also be quite simple. But shares, as you very eloquently said, are much more easily understood. A company makes money, they record a profit on their annual accounts, and they pay a dividend to shareholders. That's really easy to understand. And the value of that company goes up or down depending on their success or lack of. A bond is a guaranteed investment on which you invest X amount and you get the capital invested, the $100 per unit back at maturity. But the value of that bond, depending on the issuer of the bond, as I said before, and also market conditions, can change dramatically.
Alex, I'm not going to lie. If I was talking to someone explaining to me how trading shares work, I would probably trade in shares the next day. But talking to you now about bonds, I feel like I need to know what's going on, because I do want that 5%, but I still need to do a little bit of legwork to get into it and really be more confident about it. And yet, most people don't know that they are already invested in bonds through their super fund. So do you think super funds should provide more information to their members about what their underlying bond investments are?
You have my total agreement on that, Michelle. I believe super funds should be totally open and tell their investors what the average maturity of their bond exposure is in their portfolios. I think they should tell their investors, their super fund members, in what currencies and countries and what names they're investing their superannuation funds in. Because bonds, of course, as I mentioned earlier, can be issued by governments as well as corporations. And I think it's incumbent on the investor of people's monies to be totally open with where they're investing those monies. After all, it's the client's money, not the company's money.
Yes, I think if they can be more transparent about that, then similar to just the share market, where we're now a little bit more used to how it works, then we'll be more confident about figuring out how to invest in bonds. There is so much to unpack there, Alex, that I feel like we need to do a part two. But just a very quick wrap up. If you are a beginner investor and you want to invest directly, the opportunities lie in looking at bond ETFs. if you are looking at the opportunities right now in terms of bonds in the US, then you are really looking at short-term opportunities, according to Alex, and that is US government bonds with a two-year maturity. By contrast, here in Australia, you are looking at Australian government bonds with a 5 to 7 year maturity. Very quick disclaimer, though, this is not personal financial advice. It all depends on your personal circumstances, but that is certainly from an expert looking into what are the current opportunities in the market. But once again, Alex, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Michelle. I admire your work. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.